Big, big heartfelt welcome to Didi. Big thank you for joining us all. And who's meeting Didi personally for the first time? Anyone? Hands up. Okay, good. And also, whose first time is it to Madhuban? Can we see a show of hands? Okay, quite a few. So, as we know, the theme of the retreat is the world of angels. Today's special theme for the day is, who knows? Angels that dance. And the theme for this session is the dance of the mind. And so we've got a few questions that we can ask Didi, and then I'll open it up to if you have any special questions you want to ask around this theme as well. I guess to introduce Didi. She's the director of Gyan Sarovar and also the Asia Pacific region. And she's often known for a very practical, grounded and simplicity, but I think also for being very loving in a very pure way. And she was around at the time of Sakar Baba and also had a close connection with Mama. And so we'll be inviting her to share a few of those stories. The first thing that I wanted to see if Didi will clarify for us or explain is, what is a real angel? So just very simply, what is your understanding of an angel? And is it a stage that we can be in while moving around? Or is it a very powerful stage that we go into only in seated meditation? And two other things, is it something that we can go into and stay for the rest of our life, or is it a stage that we go up and down in, perhaps?
Yeah. Shanti. Angel is next to God, our stage of being bodiless. Are we being, feeling to be in the subtle region with the body of light? Angels are messengers of God. Angels are usually depicted with two eyes, which means that they have this third eye of knowledge, which is very powerful. They are shown flying, and most of the angels are like children, which means completely pure. Children are pure. So they are flying in such a high stage. So there is so much zeal and enthusiasm and flying. It's not easy to maintain that stage all the time. We go up and down. Even if we have aim to maintain that angelic stage, because we are in the corporeal level, we come down and then again we put our attention and go high up. So it's a stage is fluctuating.
But it is possible for us to be in the angelic stage. So it's not just like Brahma Baba became avyakt, it said. So it's possible for everyone to also be in that stage while in the body.
Definitely. Okay. Whilst our attention is there, and our stage is high, we can be in that angelic stage quite a few hours a day.
And could we ask you to share your personal experience? What does it feel like to be in your angelic stage?
When we are in our angelic stage, we feel very light and we feel, no, as if we are giving so much sarcasm to the world, because we are on that higher stage, we can give that sarcasm to everybody around us, and we can be uplifting souls, because souls do want to be uplifted, but they don't have their own power. So with our inner strength and our good wishes, we can uplift those souls who are wanting to be uplifted. So it's a very blissful stage. We feel blissful, internally peaceful, blissful, and naturally there is that natural purity. So it's a stage of being light and might house. So we are really blessed when we are able to maintain that stage.
I wonder if I can ask also a practical question about conducting meditation. A lot of the youth are starting to perform murali or at various times conduct yoga. And so what is your understanding and advice of how to conduct yoga? What is happening when we give drishti? And what stage do we need to maintain to make it a good experience for those in the gathering?
Those who are conducting, they have got that responsibility to spread that power and give that inner strength to those who are sitting across. So I have to receive power from Baba and share it with others. So that should be our awareness. I am getting power from Baba and I am spreading it in the atmosphere. So it's like a responsibility. So we have to be really powerful to give drishti. Not that we become powerful by being on the gaddi or in the stage, on the stage. So that's what we have to have, that aim. Not I'm going to receive power, but I have to give power. So it's a stage of being a bestower of power and not receiver. Naturally we receive from Baba before we share, but not receiving from the gathering or by being given this chance to conduct the meditation. So that's what usually we select, those who are powerful soul, to sit and conduct meditation.
So Baba has said in the muralis that not many know him accurately, and a large part of being in the angelic stage is being in a connection with Baba. And I was wondering if you can share three stories. One of how you experienced a connection with Sakar Baba, what was communication like? And two, how do you connect and experience communication with Avyakt Bhaktara? And three, what is your connection with Baba, your experience? We would feel it would be relatively accurate or very accurate. What is your experience of Baba in the incorporeal world? So Baba on those three levels, what is your own personal experience? And
Sakar Baba, our connection can be, our relationship can be any. Father, teacher, guru, friend, beloved, mother, child, we can have any relationship and connect Baba or have chit-chat with Baba or receive power from Bap and Dada. So that's with Sakar. With Avyakt Angelic Baba, we usually receive, we also receive from him the strength. Because as much as we become Avyakt, we can enjoy Avyakt meeting with Avyakt Bap and Dada. Because Bap and Dada are together, so we have to meet them together. And that meeting is angelic meeting, and it gives us that lightness when we are meeting Baba in Avyakta form. We feel very light, and as I said, is we receive might also during meeting. And with incorporeal, we have to be incorporeal, because when we are in the same stage only, we can enjoy the meeting. So with Sakar, we can be Sakar. With Avyakt, we have to be Avyakt. With incorporeal, we have to be just a dot, point of light. Then only we can enjoy incorporeal meeting. So as we become incorporeal, a dot, we will be able to enjoy incorporeal meeting with incorporeal Shiv Baba. And because different people at different time may enjoy different stage. Nothing is wrong, nothing is right, everything is right. As somebody says, wrong is right and right is wrong. Everything is right. Wrong is also right and right is right. So, whichever form we enjoy. Because different people have different choices. So it's whichever you like, you try to be in that stage and Baba will fulfill our desire. Whichever desire we have, Baba fulfills. So, we have to just feel whatever we have in our heart.
A very beautiful and accepting and encouraging perspective. Actually, I have often remembered a point that Didi Nirmala shared about 10 years ago in Indraprastha. She was giving a talk and she said, "A knowledgeable soul accepts variety." And I've often remembered that. A knowledgeable soul accepts variety. So everything is good, as Didi says. And So what connection do you feel, there were a few questions about advanced party and confluence age and the transition. What connection do you feel the angelic stage has with the transition from confluence age to, from confluence age to golden age? So how does us going into the angelic stage help?
Oh, Shanti. Will you repeat the questions?
So what connection does the angelic stage have with the transition from confluence age into golden age? So when we met with Daddy Gulzar, actually, the youth, the last thing she said was, now whatever you've heard, it's all about light and might. And so there was this emphasis that the important part of service and our focus should be on the angelic stage and sharing light and might. And so the question is, how is that going to help us move on to the golden age?
Whatever sanskar we imbibe here, we will be carrying it in golden age. So it is said, no? Whatever is your last stage here will be your first stage in golden age. So once we have angelic stage here at the end, naturally whatever light, might and other inner strength we have received, we'll be carrying it in golden age. So it will be natural. Here we are making effort. There it will be natural. Light, might. And there we don't need to serve. Service we do here only, to help other people. But there, those who have achieved whatever they need to achieve, they will be naturally, they will be there with their own qualities. So we don't have to help anyone. We are just in that high stage. And everybody is in that high stage. So golden age is natural.
So, I had one more question, and then we can open it up to your questions. Who, hands up if you heard the recent Borg message that Baba gave about the youth last Thursday? Just a few. So it was very nice. I'll just read to you a few sentences. So Baba said, according to Baba, this is about the youth, the speciality of these children is that these youth children that come to Baba's home, whether from India or abroad, are in some form or another, some way or another, some relation or another, the souls that have gone from Baba's home, who have done a lot of service in the yajna from the beginning, who have helped the yajna in growing and moving forward. These children have also decorated themselves in every way. It is these same children who have now returned with these sanskars and become the stars of the earth and become big or small Deepaks on the basis of knowledge. And so just two other sentences. This is, Baba said that these souls, these children of Baba, are the original jewels and the ancestor souls. That is why they have come to Baba since childhood. These sanskars are formed in these children, and they are moving forward on the basis of these sanskars. And it goes on. Do you hear that Borg message? Did you hear that Borg message or not yet? Yeah.
How long ago was it?
Just last Thursday was Rukmani Ben, when we were in Shantivan. And so it was very uplifting and revealing, I guess, secrets about the youth. And so maybe you can share your thoughts on that. Maybe what are the original sanskars of the original jewels, and how is that being used for service, or what are your inspirations to help these youth re-emerge their original samskaras?
This was Shantivan, and we are in Gyan Sarovar, so we haven't heard this message, because in Shantivan, I think Sister Rukmani would have taken bhog. In Pandavavan, Shashiban brings message. In Gyan Sarovar, we just have yoga during Thursday bhog. So, naturally, the sanskars that the youth will have, the original sanskar, everybody will go to their original sanskar. It's not only youth, but everybody, whatever their original eternal sanskars are there, they will attain the same again, as it repeats every 5,000 years. So whatever sanskars we attain here, we'll be carrying on all the time. So the thing is, the sanskars that we attain, same thing as last question, sanskar, to attain that original stage or eternal stage, we make effort in Sangam Yuga. Satyug, we are born with those sanskar. And so, everybody will have their own. It won't be same for everybody, because whatever efforts we have, it's as you said, you know, it's a variety. So, whatever variety, whatever I have attained now, I'll attain it every 5,000 years. Whatever someone has attained every 5,000 years, it will be the same. So there, it will be their own original sanskar or eternal sanskar. Eternal, naturally, as a soul we have our own sanskars, but original will be different for everyone. As a deity, everybody will be variety.
Thank you. So, I'd like to give the chance, if there is anyone who has a special question in your mind, now is a very rare chance where you can ask Didi. And so, yeah, maybe we can pass the mic around.
I have a question regarding attaining your stage. If you're beginning your meditation, you're a beginner, and which stage do you think you need to attain first in order to experience any of the others? Like, which is the first step you should focus on? Thank you.
Can I repeat?
So they're saying, if you're a beginner in your meditation and you're just starting, what's the first step? So we're speaking very elevated things, but the sister is wondering, what's the very first step to experiencing maybe soul consciousness or the beginning stages of meditation?
The first step is, as Baba says, remind yourself, I'm a soul, maintaining that soul conscious stage. So try to be totally detached from body. Forget body, bodily relations, old world. Whatever we see, with this physical eyes, we should not see it. Or ignore it or be detached. But whatever we don't see, because we can't see soul, we have to maintain that soul consciousness, we have to remember Baba. So in the early stage, we start churning jnana. I am a soul, I am child of Baba. Baba's qualities we revise, repeat. So in the early stage, we churn jnana. In second stage, we may chit-chat with Baba. Baba, you are ocean of love, you are ocean of peace, you are giving me so much strength, like you are talking to Baba. And then there will be angelic stage. So you feel as if you are having a body of light, wings of zeal and enthusiasm, and you are light, might, etc. So that is the third stage. And finally, you become a dot, and remember Baba the dot. So you feel then that lot of love or peace or happiness or one of the Baba's qualities you'll be feeling in that stage, final stage. Okay? Somebody over there also want.
Om Shanti. As Didi just mentioned, when we do meditation and try to connect to God, we create the feeling of the ocean of love, peace, or anything that when we are connecting, we imagine rays of peace being showered upon us, and we create that feeling with our imagination. So how does it work for trance messengers when we hear that someone went in trance and they brought a message? Do they create the feeling or is there someone there giving them a message? How does it work?
Thank you. So what's the difference between imagining that we're receiving rays of light and experiencing based on that visualization and when a trance messenger goes into trance and experiences Baba's company? What's the difference between visualization and vision in trance?
And imagination. I think when you are trance, it's you are as if you are in that different world. You see something, not feel only, but you see something in trance. And then you get that touching, because even in trance, there is no words, not communication through words. So what you have to do is, you see the scenes as if you are seeing the movie in trance. Movie, silent movie. So that's a trance feeling. Now feeling is really you feel happy, peaceful, blissful. That feeling is in the heart. And imagining is, you just imagine as if, no, to create happiness you start imagining, oh, I am in a nice, beautiful garden with all sorts of flowers. So you have to start thinking and imagining you are somewhere. So imagination, it's to start with, we have to start with imagination and then feel. Trance is not easy, not everybody can go in trance, but some lucky people are gifted and they can go in trance.
Any other questions?
Om Shanti. So my question to Didi is, suppose we come to Madhuban, we meet Baba, we meet the Brahman family, and then we feel energized, and when we feel happy. And as soon as it happens with me, as soon as I go back to my Laukik job, to my Laukik work, there's a sudden drop in my energy levels. I want to maintain the same feeling, if not increase it, just maintain the same pace and be fulfilled with Baba's energy and the love of the Brahman family. But as soon as I leave Madhuban and I go back to the normal world, the Laukik people, there's a sudden dip in my energy levels. I want to know how to prevent that dip from happening and sustain this energy inside me so that I could use it better for service and for sustenance and be more closer to Baba, not only in Madhuban but also in the Laukik world.
So how do we maintain the same stage that we experience when we're in Madhuban when we go back to our different countries?
It's not easy. Yeah, because Madhuban has got its own atmosphere, good company, good food, and nothing but glass and glass of tea. Whereas in the world, it's naturally people are so tamo, rajo, so atmosphere is completely different when you are all with the Brahman and when you are with the Laukik world. So don't expect it's easy. You have to work hard to maintain your stage. Especially job also, not only you have to be surrounded by Laukik people, vibration, expectation from the boss, and you are busy, 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 mentally you are focused on your work, so it's not easy to focus on Baba's remembrance. So you can try to start your everything with Baba's remembrance. But still, you can never have same stage as Madhuban.
So it's very important to come here every year, definitely. Okay, maybe one or two more. Yeah, at the back. Yeah, first, second.
It's a question that I wanted to ask for so long. How to maintain voiceless stage, like, because in my Laukik job, especially being a Laukik teacher, because nowadays students are kind of different. They all are influenced by the parents, so their attitude is very different. Sometimes I get like, I couldn't solve the problem, so the anger comes out. How to reduce this anger? Because I know anger is kind of wise.
Yes, so, especially in Laukik work, how to maintain a viceless stage, particularly in relation to anger.
I think what we have to be is remain detached observer of whatever is happening. Because if I have expectation that this should happen, it doesn't happen, then I get frustrated or angry. So what I have to do is remain detached observer. Whatever is happening, I just observe it and accept it. Because it is preordained drama, whatever is happening is supposed to happen. Whether I want it or not, it's going to happen. And so I have to accept whatever is happening and not get affected. That's the only thing is, I should not be influenced by whatever is happening around me. Just as you are observing a movie, you can't help, no? Some scenes may be horrible, you just watch it. And at the most you may be affected for a second, but then you are busy watching next scene. So you are not all the time in that sorrowful mood.
Okay. There was one sister up the back. Last one. Yes.
Thank you. My question is how to protect ourselves from the disturbance from other beings, be it physical or non-physical beings. And I find that I become very sensitive to external environment, especially if the energy is not good in certain streets in outside world, and how to protect, because I feel I'm very disturbed.
So how to protect ourselves from different energies of souls, bodiless or in the body, different energy of souls, how to feel protected and not affected from bodiless or in-body souls, she's saying.
Bodiless souls. Mm-hmm. Okay, have a seat. Yoga power is the only protection. Because we have to be very yogi. No bodiless soul usually attack at night. So at that time, rather than lying down, sit down and be like a master and order them, come on, go away. I'm with Baba, you can't do anything to me. So you have to be authority and powerful and give them the order. Because weaker you are, anybody will attack. Stronger you are, they will be afraid of you and run away. So you have to be Shiv Shakti, remind yourself. I am a Shiv Shakti. Nobody can do me anything.
Thank you. So that was wonderful. A lot of jewels were shared. And I think that we can finish with some meditation. Is that okay? Maybe just one song of yoga. And then we have special Tolian blessings.